May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You would turn to Psalm 16. Psalm appointed for today is Psalm 16, verses 5 through 11. Verse 11 says, "You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." You will fill me with joy in your presence. What I want to talk to you about today is the presence of God. Miranda and I, 2 weeks ago, we went to Kansas City, and there were some logistical things that had to be worked out for us to make it to Kansas City. I wanted to go. A friend of mine, Steve Phelps, was being ordained. He had been a deacon for many years. The dean of the seminary, or the dean of the cathedral, had moved to San Antonio, and so the bishop found himself with two deacons and no priests, and he needed a priest at the cathedral, because when the bishop's gone, somebody's got to celebrate Mass. And so he elevated Steve to the place of priest and dean of the cathedral. So I wanted to be there for that. Steve and I have known each other for, gosh, at least 15, 16 years, and I wanted to be there to support him. But, golly day, flying these days is expensive. And hotels are not cheap. And I wanted Miranda to go with me. And flying out of Asheville is economically, prohibitively impossible. I mean, it's awful. And so Miranda did a very good job of figuring out the logistics of this with hotel points and so forth. But we ended up having to fly out of Atlanta. So we flew out of Atlanta nonstop to Kansas City on Southwest Airlines, which is, I love Southwest Airlines, but Southwest Airlines also has this weird thing where you just have to line up by number to get onto the airplane. And we wanted seats together, and you cannot check in until 24 hours before the flight. Well, we had to drive to Atlanta on Wednesday to stay at a hotel because the plane left early Thursday morning. We didn't want to try and drive down early on Thursday morning. So we drove down, and on the way down, we had to stop at a McDonald's with my laptop and get Wi-Fi so that we could check in at exactly the hour so that we could get two seats together. So that was the idea. But anyway, the whole thing, everything came together beautifully for us. Miranda also had a crown that had been giving her trouble, and the only day that the dentist could see her was Wednesday morning, the day we're driving to Atlanta. So it was one of those things. But, we just prayed it all up. Lord, just give us your favor on this trip. That morning, she got up, she went to the dentist, she was back. And she even stopped and filled up her gas tank on top of it. And she was back in 20 minutes. I mean, it was just fabulous. The doctor got in there, did his little thing on her crown, and it seemed to do everything. And so we actually were able to leave earlier than we thought we were going to have to leave, because we were worried. I always like to drive Highway 11 to get around from 25 over to 85. There are no Wi-Fi stops on Highway 11. We wanted to make sure we got someplace. We were able to get to Commerce, Georgia, and we got pulled into a McDonald's. And, God was just with us every step of the way. Even driving through Atlanta at noon, and, we just breezed. And we had to go all the way through because we had to stay at the airport. So, And everything went great. We got to our hotel, and I don't know if you were aware, but also Atlanta Airport is under major construction, as it always is. But
worse than normal.
Yeah, more than normal. And as a matter of fact, I won't go into that. Anyway, we had to park off site, so Miranda was able to find a hotel that had parking and a locked lot, you know, an enclosed lot, which was fabulous. So the next morning, we were able to drive over there. I got a parking place in the shade. I mean, you know, just, you know, everything just, God was so with us through that whole trip. And I could tell you, just every day, there was examples of God being with us and showing us His love and His favor throughout this trip. Even to the point when we were coming home, coming on Highway 11, coming home, we got stopped by the sheriff, and I was like, okay, well, what's going on? But he didn't come to the car. He just parked in the middle of the road and stopped us. Couldn't figure out what was going on. Long story short, they were filming a movie.
They didn't want you in.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I could have been an extra, but they didn't offer me the opportunity. But anyway, so, you know, but it was all just absolutely fabulous. And, you know, God's presence and His favor on us was evident every moment of that time. And that's what I want to talk to you about, is how we can tap into, as it were, God's presence and God's favor, not just on special events, but day by day by day. That's what we need to look at. So look at Galatians chapter 5. Because remember what it said in Psalm 16 there. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And the in your presence is a very important part of all of this. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So look at Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16, Paul says, so I say, live by the Spirit. Now, this is one of those cases where the NIV has not translated a word exactly correctly. And what they did was they get an interpretation of the word instead of an actual translation of the word. So when it says, so I say, live by the Spirit, the word live is peripatao, okay? You think about peripatetic people or people who walk all over the place, okay? Peripatao is to walk. And so most translations, I think you will find, says walk by the Spirit. But it's an interpretation. And because Paul's not talking about the physical act of walking in this place. He's talking about living. So live by the Spirit. And that's what Paul is telling us to do. Live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And now, he goes into this contrast between walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh. And so the acts of the flesh here he gives as a list of sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. These are the acts of the flesh. These are the things, if you're not walking in the presence of God, these are the kinds of things that you're going to be inclined to do. Okay? Because you're not being led by the Spirit. And it is not only not good for you, it's a terrible witness to the world if you're living like that. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. So, then what's the contrast in verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is, and now you all should know all these, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. And against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay. Now, to be in the presence of God is to be walking in the Spirit and to have that fruit begin to be made manifest in the way we are walking in Him. Now, you've heard recently from Father Chris and Father David and from me promos of the bishop's visit. He's going to be here. Gosh, it's less than 2 weeks now. Oh, my goodness. Yes, 2 weeks from this past Friday, Bishop Jones is supposed to be with us. Pray for Olivia. Olivia's still having problems. She still has the pancreatitis. It's still giving her problems. When I talked to the bishop this week, he just asked that we all pray for her earnestly, that she's in a lot of pain and she's very discomfort. So just keep praying for her. But you've heard a lot of promos about the bishop's visit and about being prepared to go out into the world. What I want to do today is to promo that what that preparation is that we need to be doing to go out is the way we are to be living moment by moment, day by day. This isn't something that's new. This isn't a one-off thing just for an outreach. This is how we all ought to be living our lives day by day. Okay? And so I want to give you some practical advice on how to do that. So that when we do go out, that the learning is in the doing. You'll be able to perfect that, as it were. But in order to perfect that process, what do we need to be doing? And it's sort of like the question, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. I mean, you just got to practice. You got to practice the presence of God. Well, when I got to that point in my thinking, as I was preparing for the sermon, I was brought back to a book that my spiritual director gave to me when I was in college, Bishop Twilliger. He was a wonderful spiritual director, a great man. He gave me a book called Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Excellent book. I loved it so much. It really, in many ways, that book was foundational for my acceptance of the Holy Spirit. And for my baptism in the Holy Spirit. I read that book and I wanted so much more from God that I was willing to go and do something stupid like say, yeah, I would like to speak in tongues. Yeah, I'd like to do all those things. Yeah, okay. So I accepted the baptism in the Holy Spirit after reading that book. And it was so important for me, I even gave it to you for your graduation from high school, wasn't it? Yeah. Because if you're going through life change, there's nothing better than to be practicing the presence of God. There's really nothing any better than walking every day, practicing the presence of God. And so, Brother Lawrence was a 17th century Carmelite monk. So we have about 400 years of experience behind what is the practical advice today. Actually, did you have to read that book by Leanne Payne, Healing Presence in Seminary? Was that one of our required texts? I looked that up. I couldn't remember whether it was required or not. Leanne Payne, modern author, also wrote a book called Healing Presence, and the whole first chapter is on practicing the presence of God. And she quotes extensively from Brother Lawrence, but she also quotes from C.S. Lewis and Mother Teresa and some others. So if you want to read that book, I would encourage you. I did put a handout on the table in the narthex, and I'll explain to you what that handout is. And it's from the book Practicing the Presence of God with Brother Lawrence. What Brother Lawrence did was he just condensed all of this massive amount of experience he had in walking with the Spirit down to six practices and six means for accepting or acquiring the practice of the presence of God. Okay, and so that's what that sheet is, there were six practices and six means, and they're front and back on that piece of paper. There's 20 copies. If they're not enough, you let me know. I'll make more copies. What I want to do today is actually, let's see if I get this thing to work. I want to give you three of the six, both of those. Thank you. All right. So the practices. Let's go there. This is the first. I'm just going to give you three of the six. All right. First practice. The most holy, common, and necessary practice in the spiritual life is the presence of God. That's kind of straightforward, isn't it? I mean, it is the most holy, common, and necessary practice in the spiritual life, is the presence of God. Now, let me give you some biblical examples. Turn to Exodus chapter 33.
Now, in chapter 33, Moses is having one of his many arguments with God, as he is wont to do, okay? And God is saying, I know you by name, you found favor with me, and so forth. And then the Lord, and Moses is saying, yeah, that's all great, but what? These are your people. In, I think it's verse 13, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue and find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. Don't put it all on me. I didn't want them in the first place. And so in verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Yeah, they're my people, but I've put you in the position of leading them. And my presence will go with you. And you're going to find rest in that. Even though I put you in a position of tremendous authority and responsibility. And then in verse 15, Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. In other words, we really can't go anywhere without you. And that's very important for us to remember. All too often, how often do we rely on our own thinking, our own rational ability, our own giftings, our own power. And we want to move forward and do things in our own abilities. We can't go anywhere effectively without the presence of God taking us, as I heard in the song earlier, step by step. We haven't sung that yet, but it's in this.
Well, you heard it because they were practicing.
That's what it was. I heard it in practice. That's what it was. Okay.
You heard it somewhere.
I did hear it. I know I heard it. All right, look at Psalm 21. In Psalm 21, in verse 6. How did I get over here? Go back. Those pages are stuck. That's why. There we go. In Psalm 21, verse 6, surely you have granted him, that is the king, the psalmist is saying to God, surely you have granted the king eternal blessings and made him glad with the joy of your presence. King David was walking in the Spirit. He knew the presence of the Lord. He trusted in the presence of the Lord. Now, there are times, though, when King David, all of us, are going to fall short. We're going to mess up. We're not going to do it God's way. We're not going to practice the presence of God. King David did that. And there was this lady, I think her name was something like Bathsheba. And yeah, it messed him up pretty bad. Okay. And Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance. And in verse 11 of Psalm 51, David says, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. There would be nothing more devastating than to find that God had withdrawn his presence. That would be true of all of us. But God loves you. God has forgiven you. God is not mad at you. And God will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that to the bank. Okay? All right. And lastly, Psalm 139. A very popular psalm. Psalm 139 and verse 7. The psalmist says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me, and your right hand will hold me fast. You can't go so far that you can outdistance the presence of God. No matter where you go, God is already there before you. Okay? All right. The most holy, common, and necessary practice in the spiritual life is the presence of God. There you go. Second one. Oops.
Take it. Clicked a couple.
You went about three, I think.
That was it. That's it. Right there. Let us stop a few minutes, as often as we can, to adore God in the depth of our hearts, to enjoy Him, as it were, in passing and in secret. Okay. What Brother Lawrence is saying is, throughout the day. Now, this is not a replacement for daily prayer, okay? It's still so important to begin every day in prayer, to end every day in prayer. But throughout the day, to take a moment and just stop and adore God and love Him and pray and just sing His praise, give thanks. When Miranda and I were on this trip to Kansas City, oh, I don't know how many times we stopped and just said, oh, wow, thank you, Lord, for your favor, you know. Sitting in a McDonald's in Commerce, Georgia, and we got good seats on the flight. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, just moment by moment, just giving that praise to God and adoring Him and loving Him and enjoying Him. That's what it says. Let us stop a few minutes as often as we can to adore God in the depths of our hearts, to enjoy Him. You know, in the Westminster Catechism, the shorter catechism, which is in the Presbyterian Church, the shorter catechism, Westminster Confession, is, it, the first question is, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end, according to the catechism, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. What a wonderful thought. Our chief end is to glorify God with our lives and to enjoy Him. You know, when you've got this image of God as this stern taskmaster, it's really hard to enjoy Him. But that's not who God is. God loves you. God wants to have, this is probably news to you, a relationship with you. He wants to enjoy you. He wants to dance and sing over you. And He wants you to enjoy Him. How wonderful.
Brilliant.
Taking a moment, every moment of the day, just to be with God. Practice His presence. Oh, hallelujah. And also, interestingly enough, in that shorter catechism, the scripture that they use to support that statement about enjoying God is Psalm 16, verse 11, which is where we began today, folks. Hallelujah. All right. But also, and in our liturgy, you know, liturgy is the fireplace and it contains the spirit and the fire. But the fire is where all the heat and the light and the joy comes from. I mean, I have a fireplace in my home and it usually sits there just very cold. Well, that's liturgy without the spirit. But you put that fire in that fireplace and room lights up, gets warm. There's excitement, and especially when the logs fall down and fall out of anyway, you know, but occasionally when we're doing liturgy here, the logs fall out and set the room on fire. And that's okay, you know. But liturgy should not be confining. And so there's nothing wrong with us occasionally just stopping in the service and just having a wonderful, enjoyable time with the Lord. I remember previous priest, I won't name names, was talking about when he was in his previous denomination and he messed up on a sort of like somebody did this morning, but anyway. You know, but he made a mistake. He made a mistake and he tried to correct it. And the priest he was working for at the time said, "Father, I don't remember, oops, being in the liturgy." It's okay to have fun. It's okay to enjoy God. It's okay to make mistakes. And it can really be an enjoyable experience.
She enjoys it.
All right. Anyway, next. Practice. All this adoration should be made by faith, believing that God really is in our hearts. This is really important that we recognize God really is in our hearts. When you were baptized, you didn't just receive a smattering of the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit. And Miranda had a friend back in Rhode Island who, I believe it was in Rhode Island, anyway, that had her theory of the Holy Spirit, that The Holy Spirit was not like an orange. He was like a banana. He didn't come in sections. He came all as one piece.
The theory of the Holy Spirit.
You didn't just receive a section of the Holy Spirit when you were baptized. You got the whole kit and caboodle, the whole banana, all right? And all right. We think so all too often we get convinced, and the enemy loves to play this game with us, that we are undeserving and or that we have to earn the love of God. There's no greater lie than to believe that you can earn the love of God. God loves you. It's from the beginning. He created you to be with you. He wants to love you. He wants to enjoy you. Or we get convinced that, but this walking and all this prayer and stuff like Father Bill is describing, you know, that's just not my style. What? It's not my gifting. It's not a gift. It's a joy. It's a privilege. It's an opportunity to have an intimate relationship with the Creator of all creation. Woo! Why would you want to pass that up? God really does love you, and He really will give you favor, and He really will gift you. He does not call the equipped. He equips the called. And you're called, every one of you. And He will give you what you need to do the work that He has called you to do. Hallelujah. Give glory to God. All right, let's press on. Means. The means to acquire the practice of the presence of God. All right, he says, Brother Lawrence says, we have a great fidelity to the practice of this presence in order to acquire the presence of God. We have a great fidelity to the practice of this presence and to the interior gazing upon God in faith. All right. In other words, you've got to practice. You've got to continually seek the Lord. You've got to continually cry out to Him. And to take moments for interior gazing upon God. That's why we have been doing these quiet days. To help all of us to learn more about how to have that interior gazing. To have that quiet time where we can hear that still, small voice of God. It's important for us to do the daily offices, to do the daily prayer. You don't have to do the one in the prayer book, but to take time in the morning for prayer. And if you can, at noon or during the hours of the day, and at the evening, and just before you lay your head down on the pillow, to lay the day and all of your events in the hands of God. But then to take that quiet time as well. Not just when we have quiet days here at the church, but as often as you can, just to spend that intimate, quiet time with God, to interiorly gaze upon Him, and to just have a relationship with Him. There is a wonderful story about this little old lady who came into, and I can't remember which cathedral it was in Rome, but anyway, she came in, and she was just kneeling there, and every day, at the same hour, she'd come in and she would kneel. And the priest would be celebrating Mass, but she wouldn't get up and go and participate in the Mass. And so the priest was concerned about her. He went over the next time he saw her, sat down next to her and said, "Mother, are you okay? You come every day and you don't do anything but sit here. Why are you here? What is the problem?" She says, "There's no problem. I just come and I look at Him. And He looks at me, and we're both very happy." How wonderful. How wonderful. All right. And it's in those moments, too, that when we have that kind of intimate communion with God, that God is going to do something to change us. If you have that kind of intimate relationship with God, God will inevitably begin to do things in your life to encourage you, to cleanse you, to make changes that need to be made. It's a wonderful thing. So don't pass those up. All right. We acquire the presence of God by forming interiorly some phrase such as, "My God, I am all thine." Now, it doesn't have to be anything really detailed or specific. Just something that what throughout the day you know you can call upon that phrase, and it brings you back into that moment where you realize God is with you. So, for example, for me, my family will attest, I very often will just say, "Lord, have mercy." And then they'll say,
"Christ have
mercy," and I'll say, "Yeah, him too." But anyway, we're weird. Okay, you don't have to do that. All right, but yeah, just Lord have mercy. Or another one that I very often will do: I'll be driving along, and the enemy will come against me. He comes against me all the time. I don't know why he's afraid of me. I'm not that big of a threat. But anyway, he does. He comes against me all the time. And so what I'll do is I'll say, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." Or I'll pray in tongues. That's another wonderful way to do it. Okay, but just, "Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." And then I know that the enemy can't touch me. Okay, so, "Lord, have mercy. Into your hands." Whatever, the Jesus prayer is another one that you could call on. "Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner." Something simple. But just to bring you back into that communication with God so that you're back in His presence. Form interiorly some phrase such as, "My God, I'm all thine," and amazing things will happen. All right. Lastly, believe it or not, this presence of God, a little painful in the beginning, operates in the soul marvelous effects when it is faithfully practiced. It is the purest, the firmest, the easiest, and the most efficacious manner of prayer, Brother Lawrence says. A little painful? Why did he say that? Well, if you go back to the epistle for today, if you will remember, in verse 24, "Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires." The last time I checked, crucifixion was painful. And what did St. Paul say earlier in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20? "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." That's why it's painful. Because we have to give up who we are and our desires and our wants and our selfish passions. And we don't want to do that. And so, it's a little bit painful in the beginning. But it operates in the soul marvelous effects when it is faithfully practiced. It is the purest, the firmest, the easiest, and the most efficacious manner of prayer. When we do this, we are entering into an experience of God's presence that will be with us everywhere and every moment. And that is exciting. All right. Psalm 16, verse 11. That's where we began. That's where we're going to conclude. "If you will seek to do these things," the Lord says, the psalmist says, "you, Lord, will fill me with joy in your presence." With joy in your presence. So, if you want to be filled with the joy of the Lord, practice the presence of God. If you want to experience the love of God, practice the presence of God. If you want peace in times when things are difficult, practice the presence of God. If you want the fruit of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, and you want to be able to manifest that in the world, practice the presence of God. All right, again, there's sheets out there with these practices and these means. Help yourself. If there are not enough copies, let me know. I'll make more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.